Foodie Lunch Recordings presents Kwasi Kwarteng, talking about his book, Thatcher's Trial. Sponsored by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
Sorry, does this work? Can everyone hear me? A number of things. One, I'm not going to talk about war on gold. I'm talking about Thatcher. And in the context of Thatcher, I'm going to tell my own, or rather her own, parrot joke, which I'm afraid wasn't as quite as explicit as yours. But she was supposed to have done a skit on the Monty Python dead parrot sketch. And she tried to compare various elements of the Labour Party to a dead parrot, as you can imagine. And so she said the joke, and she wasn't very good at jokes, so she didn't really understand what the reference was. And at the crucial point, she spoke to one of her advisors. She said, "This Monty Python, is he one of us?" So I'm afraid she didn't really pay that much regard to your profession with regard to knowing where these jokes were coming from. But I wanted to say a few things about her. Well, obviously, she was a remarkable person, and for someone my age, and I think for people now, I think people forget how extraordinary it was that a woman would be leader of the Conservative Party as long ago as 1975. And this was something which at the time caused a lot of interesting remarks. And she was also particularly sensitive in many ways about this. But of course, one of the things that people have always pointed out was that she very rarely appointed women to her cabinet. She only appointed one woman in the whole of the 11 years. And Frank Field, who's a Labour MP, said to me, he said, you know, he spoke to her about this. And he said, you know, Margaret, why aren't you, and Frank was a junior MP at the time, he said, Margaret, why aren't you appointing really good women to the cabinet? And she said, it's very simple, Frank. They're just not good enough. And he turned around to her and he said, you think the women aren't good enough? What about your men? And of course, you know, that was very much something which people noticed at the time. And of course, she wasn't very good at jokes. She was very, very straightforward. And what my book tries to describe in the 6 months in 1981 was that what was driving her was very much almost a kind of religious fervor. I mean, she herself wasn't very upfront about her religious belief. We don't know what she believed theologically. But certainly her style was very much, this is what I argue, was very much informed by the fact that she was the daughter of a Methodist lay preacher. And so, like any lay preacher, like anyone who is informed by religion, the truths of religion are very simple. Everything is black and white. Everything is binary. And so she reduced everything, and that's, I think, what sustained her through 1981. And we've got to remember what happened in 1981. You had a very savage budget in March, which Geoffrey Howe introduced. And I'll say a few words about that later. You had the formation of the SDP. You had the Irish hunger strikes with Bobby Sands, who died. You had Brixton and Toxteth riots. And of course, she reasserted herself with the reshuffle in September 1981. And that's where my book ends. And it's 6 months that defined a leader. It shows her consistently sticking to her guns and making sure that she would somehow come out on top. She had incredible willpower. And of course, humor, from her point of view, was something which was rather quite flippant. I mean, Geoffrey Howe described the budget, and famously, you will probably remember, 364 economists wrote to the Times after the budget, saying that the budget was completely wrong, it had no foundation in theory, it was all complete bananas, and the economy would be ruined. And Geoffrey Howe famously said, well, he had a description of what an economist is. And he said, an economist is someone who knows 364 different ways of making love, but doesn't actually know any women. And of course, when Thatcher was told this, she was in complete incomprehension. And she didn't understand what was going on. She just said, well, Geoffrey, they're just wrong. I don't care about what they think about making love. And Howe realized that, you know, the Prime Minister had a serious, in his view, sense of humor deficit. But actually, what was remarkable about 1981 wasn't the fact that she got through it or the fact that, she managed to reassert herself. The fact is that at the time, everyone thought that Thatcher was going to be a short-lived experiment. And one friend of mine who was working in Central Office, he's slightly older than I am, but he was working in Central Office in the 70s, was in the lift, and Rab Butler came in to the lift, and he said, "Oh, this Thatcher business, we won't have to put up with that for very long, will we?" And he said, "Well, let's see." And of course, that was in 1977, so it was another 13 years. And she long outlived, or her premiership long outlived, Rab Butler's life, who he sadly passed away in 1982. So my book is really just showing how fragile, in many ways, her grip on the Conservative Party, her grip on power, and it shows really a remarkable leader, because obviously from now, here, we see hindsight. We see that she did 11 years and she was at the top of her game. But in 1981, things were much more fragile. She was a leader who hadn't been tried and tested. She was someone who people thought was a short-lived experiment. But actually, the story of how she got through that, I think, is a remarkable testament to her qualities as a leader, regardless of what you think about. And it was a great privilege for me to research and write about this topic. And I just wanted to say, talking about Ireland, and I think I have to share this. I mean, it's a real privilege for me to be at an Oldie Literary Lunch. I've heard lots of good things about it. I've enjoyed sitting next to Barry Cryer. And talking about Ireland, I just thought that the one thing was, because I was a great fan. I grew up as a great fan of Spike Milligan, and I'd love to have been here when he was at these lunches. Anyway, Barry, sorry to steal this anecdote, and I think it should be shared more widely. Anyway, Spike Milligan was at one of these lunches, and he did his thing. He spoke very eloquently, very funnily, and he walked out, and someone said, one of the audience came up to him and said, "Oh, Mr. Milligan, I really, really would like to shake the hand of the greatest living Englishman." And Spike said, "I'm Irish, now buzz off."
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.